Chapter 4. On Sunday evening, Elliot climbed aboard Dunwiddle's yellow school bus with the other UDM kids, except Nori, the fifth grade Flares, and Nurse Riley. The engine rumbled to life, and they were off. "I can't believe it," Elliot thought. "Me, at Sage Academy." Some of his friends were anxious about being shipped off to the fanciest of the fancy private schools. But Elliot saw it as an adventure. Andres was excited, too. He sat next to Elliot wearing his brick pack and bounced on the scratched-up seat.
"I can't wait to see Tip," Andres said, "and Phoebe and Lark and Tomas."
The UDM kids had met some Sage kids before, when fifth graders from both schools had attended an overnight field trip at a dragon rescue center. Andres had bonded with several of the Flyers. Elliot looked around. He leaned forward and tapped Marigold.
"Where's Willa?"
"She's not coming," Marigold said over her shoulder. "She has the flu."
"She wasn't sick on Friday," Elliot said.
"She's faking," Bax said.
"Why would she do that?" Marigold asked.
Maybe because she's afraid of raining all over the school and ruining the ancient tapestries and the velvet curtains," Bax said.
The UDM kids went quiet.
"What if I accidentally shrink the velvet curtains?" Marigold said in a small voice.
"You won't," Elliot insisted. "No way." "And no way will I freeze them either," he told himself.
He could hear the Sparkies' shrill laughter from the front of the bus. That was the only part of this adventure he wasn't up for. Traveling with the Sparkies. Why had the UDM kids been paired with the Flares? Why couldn't they have gone to Sage with the fifth grade Fuzzies? He made a tiny ice cube in his hand and popped it in his mouth.
"Oh, nice," Andres said.
He pulled a grape juice box from the zippered pocket of his brick pack and tossed it to Elliot.
"Make me a popsicle?"
Elliot froze the juice box.
"Pass it here and I'll big it up," Marigold said. "Then we can share."
She bigged the frozen juice box to be the size of a cereal box. Andres used his pen cap to slice open the box and then broke the massive grape ice cube into shareable pieces. Everyone sucked on their chunks. Their mouths turned purple.
"Ms. Starr is meeting us there, right?" Elliot asked. "Maybe she's riding with Mr. Zlotnick."
Mr. Zlotnick taught the typical Flair students, and he wasn't on the bus either. The only Dunwiddle staff person was Nurse Riley, who was sitting in the front row, talking to the bus driver.
"She better be," Marigold said, talking about Ms. Starr. "How would we have class without her?"
After a 2-hour drive, the bus stopped in front of a large gold gate.
"Whoa, fancy."
The driver checked in with a uniformed security guard and the gates swung open. Everyone peered out the windows as they drove down the road to the lit-up buildings ahead of them. There were at least 15 different buildings, all made of stone.
"It's like a village,"
Marigold whispered.
"All of this is part of the Sage campus?" Andres asked.
"All of it?"
"All of this and more," said Lacey from up front. "They have different buildings for different magical subjects, and a separate gymnasium building, a separate auditorium, a dining hall, and dormitories. I know from going on the tour."
"A building for each magical talent? Wow. Would there be a building for upside-down magic?"
The bus driver stopped, and a small brown horse trotted toward the bus. The bus door hissed open, and the horse fluxed into a woman who stepped gracefully aboard.
"Good evening," she said. "I'm Ms. Fujita, Dr. Horace's assistant. I'm here to show you to the Buxbaum dorm, where you will be staying while you're visiting."
She turned to the driver.
"Continue straight ahead and make a right."
The bus driver followed her directions.
"Keep going," Ms. Fujita said. "Yes, yes, keep going."
The road curved around. Elliot spotted three goats trotting along together with backpacks in their mouths. They must be fluxed students. After the bus passed two more buildings, Ms. Fujita asked the driver to stop.
"Here we are," she said as everyone disembarked. "My apologies for the state of the dorm. It's due to be demolished next month. But we weren't expecting guests, and these are our only available beds, and, well," she smiled, "what good timing after all."
"Not a problem," Nurse Riley said. "We appreciate you taking us in. Come on, kids, grab your bags and..."
"Our grounds crew will get your bags," Ms. Fujita said. "Go on to your rooms. I'm sure you're tired. We've put your names on your doors. Your uniforms are in your closets."
"This is the old dorm?" said Bax, walking ahead. "I don't get what's wrong with it."
"The new dorm must be a palace," said Pepper.
The entryway had deep red carpet and vaulted ceilings. Farther on was a common area furnished with stately leather couches, more thick carpets, and a number of glossy wooden tables. Bookshelves were loaded with a mix of paperbacks and textbooks. Elliot had never seen such a fancy space meant for kids. He found his room and stood in its center, taking it in. The walls were papered with a rich blue and gold floral pattern. The furniture was simple: a bed, a wooden desk, a swivel chair. He had a big window with, yes, blue velvet curtains, and a closet that contained 5 days' worth of school uniforms. Down the hall were the bathrooms. There, Elliot could see that the building was past its prime. The porcelain sinks were stained with use, the tiles warped and cracked with age. He went back out to the common room and found Pepper on one of the leather couches.
"Have you seen Nori?" he asked.
"Eleanor Horace will not be staying in the dormitory," said Ms. Fujita, appearing behind them and making Elliot jump. "She will remain at her father's house."
"Oh," he said. "How come?"
"Dr. Horace's wishes."
"What about Ms. Starr?" Pepper asked. "Is she staying with us or in, like, a teacher's dorm?"
"Ms. Starr?" Ms. Fujita repeated.
"Our teacher."
Ms. Fujita frowned.
"I was told that your school nurse would be your chaperone. He'll be sleeping in the prefect room."
"I don't understand," Elliot said.
"Yeah," said Pepper. "Who's going to teach us if our teacher isn't here?"
"You'll attend classes with the Sage students, of course," Ms. Fujita said.
"Wait," Elliot said, his heart sinking. "That's fine for the flares, maybe, but what about the kids with upside-down magic?"
"Sage doesn't have an upside-down magic class," Ms. Fujita explained. "You'll be grouped by your magic: flare, fuzzy, flyer, fluxer, or flicker."
Elliot's jaw dropped.
"But I freeze things."
Pepper laughed nervously. "And I can't go to a fuzzy class. I'll terrify all the animals. Is that what Sage wants? A stampede of terrified kittens?"
By this time, other students had come into the common room. Sebastian, Andres, and Marigold, plus Lacey, Rune, and some other flares.
"I'm sure it will be fine," said Ms. Fujita.
"I'm pretty sure it won't," said Pepper.
"No kidding," said Lacey.
She turned to Rune and laughed.
"They're setting the Wonkos free, did you hear?"
Elliot felt sick. He would have to be in a class with Lacey and all the Sparkies. And since Willa had the flu, he'd have to deal with them all on his own.